Please stand for our scripture reading of the day. This is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your house. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you are doing it for me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, those are the goats. He will turn to the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me any clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go on to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. I'm okay. Hi again. So good to see you. All right, this wants to roll. Let me get this set up, all this electronic stuff, you know. There we go. Well, it's good to be with you again. Looking at your cute faces out there. I have moved. I don't know if you heard that. We left the beautiful lake house, and now we're living in a condominium kind of place. Don't feel bad for me. For those of you who love up north, Mark, Jerry, if you would see, Jeff, I mean, we loved our lake, we loved our boat, we loved our house. I'm just not used to up north living. Now, I don't know if any of you know that it's different. It's a great place to visit, but living there for 8 years, I missed civilization. Now, I only had to go 40 minutes to find it, but that means every time I had to go 40 minutes. I mean, I had to do my in-between grocery shopping at Dollar General. But anyway, it was great for a time. We both had that dream. We did it. And now I love being minutes away from Aldi's. Ron loves being minutes away from Home Depot. So we're starting a new adventure. We missed family. I mean, we were 2 to 5 hours away from family. And though in the beginning they seemed to enjoy coming up north more, as time went on and the kids got busier, well, not so much. And then this year we had 2 new great-grandsons born. And I could not bear the thought of not being a part of their lives. So we are 7 minutes from one of them. Oh my gosh. Oh, we get to play with that baby. And we're only 25 minutes from the other one. So it is a wonderful thing to be back down here. And I have an absolutely beautiful home again. I'm very blessed. I've had most fun decorating. You know how I love to do that. It just takes me a lot longer now. I was the moving queen for years. I had that house settled like that. I'm still working at it, and it's been 7 weeks. But I was just so glad to have the opportunity to be with you again. So let's get into the word of the Lord. So many years ago, and you may have heard this story, and if you remember it, I want you to come and tell me, because if you have remembered a sermon illustration from when I was here, I will be so blessed. But okay. So in 1996, in my last semester of college, I decided to take an urban ministries class. In case I got appointed to an urban church, I wanted to be ready. You see, I grew up as a suburb kid, though I did spend time in Detroit because my dad's business was there. I just wanted to be sure I had understanding of what city life was like should I be a pastor in that area. One of the things we did in this class is we took a trip to Chicago, and this was not let's see the grand sights and go to Navy Pier and do all that fun stuff kind of trip. But rather, it was us staying in a former monastery now owned by the Olive Branch Mission on the south side of Chicago. Now, this mission offers a variety of programs to reach out to the community it is in: housing, food, programs for addiction, but it is also known for educating college students about caring for others in the city. I was able to go and see for the first time in my life huge shelters for the homeless, soup kitchens like I'd never seen before, ministry to gang members. Most of all, I was shown what urban life with less, much less than I had ever known, was like. Now, our class had about 25 people in it, and we were dropped off one day in some area of Chicago. I don't even know where. And we were told to walk around in groups, to go have lunch, to take in the sights, and did I mention to stay together in a small group? Well, four of us, you know, we decided we'd hang out together, and we were talking about what we were going to do when a man approached us who wanted to know who was this group. At first, I did not notice the wrinkly coat and the other things that were defining of someone who may not have a regular place to live. He wanted to know who this group was and what were we doing. We told him we were a class and that we were going to go eat at a pizzeria across the street. He asked if he could come. Now, I was skeptical and maybe always not so nice, and I said, "You are free to do whatever you'd like, sir." I had a feeling he wanted something to eat. We stood in line for some pizza, and the spirit prodded me to get an extra piece. We sat down to eat while this man was just busybodying around talking to the people in the restaurant. And he came by our table and said boldly, "Where's my pizza?" And I said, "Did you ask for pizza?" Again, being the Debbie I am. To which he replied, "You said you'd buy me pizza." Well, I realized there was no use to correct the conversation, so I asked him if he would like a piece of pizza, to which he said, "Yes." I gave him the slice, and he went to another table to sprinkle more cheese and peppers. Whatever was free, he was loading it up there. And the owner came over to him because he knew him and knew him not to usually spend money in his restaurant. But he went up and said, "What is he doing there?" And the man very quickly showed him his pizza. He was a customer. He had a right to be there. Well, the four of us in our school group just sat and ate our lunch. While we were still visiting and eating, the man meandered over to our table and he spoke to each of us individually. And when he came to me, he took my hand. Ah! My emotions were whirling. What was he gonna do? Was he gonna hurt me? Was he gonna pull me out of my seat? What was he gonna do? His face now was not only grimy, from not washing, but now it was covered in grease and bits of cheese. Then he took my hand to his mouth, and he kissed it. In my head, I was screaming, "What are you doing? You have germs. God only knows where that mouth has been. What do I do now? How did this happen?" And he put my hand down and he simply walked away. And I looked at my hand, now covered with grease and cheese. I was quiet as my classmates, all who were younger than my own children, just simply looked on. Ah, compassion or social justice. It's a wonderfully difficult thing, yet very necessary in our faith walk. Compassion. Compassion. We hear that word. Do we really know what it is? Do we understand it really? If I were to ask you to define compassion, could you come up with a good definition? Is it just feeling sorry for someone, or is there more to it? Well, you know me, and I love to do some word dissection, so let's just go and get some of the understanding of the deeper meaning of this word compassion. The Latin translation means suffering with another. Suffering with, bringing action into our affection, having that understanding of what people are going through. The Hebrew word for compassion is used to refer to the womb of God. Compassion is something that emanates out from deep within God, and therefore should us. And how about some Greek? You know, I always love to throw out some Greek there. The word has connection to one's guts. Guts. Vital organs. It was compassion, gut-wrenching identification with those who are hurting. This is no minor, bless his heart. This is hurting with and for someone. Now, God has always exhorted his followers to care for the widows and the orphans, for they were the most vulnerable of the day. They had nowhere to go and no one to care for them. Thus, God told his people, "You take care of them." Farmers were told to leave crops on the outside edge of their fields, for people in need could come and glean grain. If one were to give a pledge or to borrow something, they were to give something such as a coat in place of the thing that they borrowed. But the law said that coat had to be returned by evening because that's when it got cold. A widow was never to give her coat, for she had so little already. There was the year of Jubilee stated in the word where all debts were forgiven every 50 years, kind of a start over. The stranger was to be welcomed and cared for. And even women, I don't know if you knew this, could own land in a time when women could not do a whole lot. The prophet Amos spoke out to the corrupt Israel, whose practices of injustice just after King Solomon's reign were screaming in the face of God. Micah gave to us God's amazing words. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Now today's scripture focus is familiar but perhaps confusing. It is definitely an end time scenario, and we're not quite there yet, but getting there. At the very end, Jesus will be given the power to judge. Now one can't take this scripture alone without looking at the whole of the Gospels. We do not get to heaven based on works, but by grace. So work that into this story, okay? However, this scene with other scriptures does show the importance of showing compassion, for fighting for the underdog, for righting wrongs. What are we to learn is that whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? I have a lot of people in my life who aren't Jesus. They don't act like Jesus. They don't sound like Jesus. They're not nice like Jesus. But he didn't say, just do them if they're nice like me. They said, any of these, for the least of these. Now, there are other parts of the New Testament that would support this notion. Paul writes to Titus in 3:8, I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. And James, and here's a little tidbit, did you know that Martin Luther didn't want the book of James in the Bible? He wanted it as an addendum at the end, and it's because of this scripture. Because he believed that salvation was purely by faith and not by works, and he didn't like this next scripture. That's just a little thing for a trivia game some night you might be playing, and you need to know it. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So by faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Woo! Let that one soak in for a moment. Now, Jesus spent a lot of time of his ministry speaking to religious leaders of the day. And you need to understand that by this time, they had taken those Ten Commandments and broadened them to 613. There were 365 negative ones and 248 positive ones. Another need for a trivia game. So what does Jesus do in the midst of them? He speaks directly to them. And if you ever want to do a great study, read the four Gospels and pay attention to what Jesus says. I did a gospel study a few years ago, and I walked away so humbled. You know, I like to make Jesus the teddy bear in the sky, you know. When he talked to the religious leaders of the day, I just kept going, ouch, ouch. Is pretty in your face. So they ask, what is it that we need to do, Jesus? And he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, which takes care of the vertical, and then love each other as well, which is the horizontal, separate but inseparable. That is what all of those other laws could be condensed to. Christ pushed all to enlarge our love circle and to conclude his definition of neighbor. He taught about who is our neighbor in the story of the Good Samaritan. The outcast Samaritan was the only one who took time to stop and care for the one on the side of the road, bruised, bleeding, and left to die. The priest and the religious man did not stop. They didn't want to be unclean. They didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't want to be hurt. I don't know what all the reasons were, but they didn't stop. But the least one, the Samaritan, who the Jewish people hated, was the one who did it. We are called to call for a neighbor, whatever that looks like. Jesus would push the cart even further by including the love of neighbor to include our enemies. Ouch, ouch. I like loving the people who are nice. I like doing something nice for the neighbor who does something nice for me. I like being nice to the person I work with who is so nice to me. I know we all think that way. I'm not accusing you. I'm accusing me as well. Okay, got it? We have to love our enemies. Now, the only way you're going to do that, may I remind you, is with a power outside of ourselves. And that is the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's the only way you're going to do it. Compassion, or acting with a sense of social justice, is defined by Richard Foster as a life committed to compassion and justice for all peoples. We pursue it because God develops in us the compassion to love our neighbor freely and develops in our world a place where justice and righteousness prevail. Do you know that's part of us? That's what we're supposed to be doing? You're not going to, forgive me, you're not going to legislate that. You're not even going to have political rallies to do that. Unless it includes Jesus Christ, as we have recently seen. You see, all areas, our personal, our social, and our institutional, are to come under that kind of influence. One person at a time. Now, that just may seem a bit overwhelming, and it is. But everyone starts where God ignites their passion. Where is your heartbeat? John Woolman, over a century before the Civil War, 100 years, grew a passion against slavery, and I'm sure he contributed to that moment by refusing to buy from those who used slaves, compromise on any level of slavery. He's the one who started the Quaker movement, who freed slaves by talking owners into letting them go. He had a fire burning within. So many amazing people throughout history have done big things, but they started with a small flame. What causes you to burn with holy righteousness? We all have it. It may be children. It may be the way your neighborhood is treated. It may be one of my passions, the amount of slavery that is in our world today. Are there injustices that make you cry? What missions do you support that are making a difference where people are oppressed? Where do you give of your time? Are you willing to take a stand for someone? We are called to live life inspired by a song of Ortonville's own Jeff Moore. We're going back now. I used this song here. I remember meeting him when we had him in concert. Do you remember doing that, folks? I got to hold hands in a prayer circle with Jeff Moore. Oh, I had never been close to such famousness. He has this song that I have used ever since I heard it, which was a long time ago. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's called A Heart to God. So my heart is here, lifted up to God, and a hand to man and women. A heart to God. Lift up your hands. Put your heart up. You can't. You're forgiven, Mark. You don't have to. And a hand to man. Now let's just think about that posture. You're standing in the grocery line and the checker outer is not very nice. And you want to give her what for? Maybe you just need to stand in that line and go, okay, heart to God, hand to man. Help me, God, so I don't handle that woman. I mean, sometimes physicality has an influence. You have to face someone who's just being, sorry, my favorite word, a poop. Heart to God, hand to man. We have to grow in the vertical. We have to be linked closely to our Lord. So we can then see and do this horizontal thing for human beings. You gotta know, even the worst criminal was originally created in the image of God. Hard for me sometimes to look at those faces. But the times that I've done it, you know, they flash that mugshot up there, and I just say, God, show me. Show me what you see. And I've wept. I've wept standing in front of the TV and prayed for that person. I didn't wanna. I'd wanted to say, like, go get them. But that's not my job. I'm a child of the living God. And maybe I haven't quite done what they've done, but I've done some things that weren't very nice. For people who are broken, they're just, things have gotten distorted, and I think somehow we can still make a difference by treating them respectfully because they are a creation of God. No other reason. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to like anything about them. But you have to respect that part of them. We do not have to affirm their behavior, okay? Because you have compassion, because you pray for them, doesn't mean you are saying, yes, you needed to do that. Absolutely not. For those of you who raised children and your children did some pretty bad things, you disapproved of what they did and you let them know how wrong it was, but you didn't stop loving them because they're your children. I got pretty mad at mine a few times, but I didn't kick them out the door. Sometimes they left, they got mad at me, but they came back. We do not have to affirm that behavior. Remember that when you see that. If love was easy, folks, the whole world would be doing it, and we would be a perfect place. And in case you haven't noticed where we live in the midst of broken world and shattered people. Systems around us have become corrupt. That's nothing new. If you think we're the worst time ever, you need to read some history books, folks. I am so glad that I came to love history. As I read things that human beings have done to other human beings that made me shudder. Why? Because we are a corrupt people and we have a bent towards evil. The question is, what do we who claim Jesus Christ and Lord, as Lord and Redeemer do about it? Close the windows, shut the shades until things get better? Good luck with that one. That gets to work if you have a committed time that you're spending with God in prayer and study. Then you can do that. God is an amazing God. He just has a way of getting something good going. We must remember to fill up on the Holy Spirit. We can get angry. We can act out of hate because the injustice is so great. And every stand we take against what is wrong in our power usually turns up poorly. But when it's done reflecting on the character of Christ, things go differently. People have turned evil on its head in simple resistance and sharing the truth. And it doesn't happen overnight. In fighting the fight of faith for the long run, we got to hang in there. We got to pray. We got to hang on to each other. We got to call our friend Cheryl and say, "Cheryl, I'm going to kill someone. Pray for me." Cheryl goes, "I know I worked with you for lots of years, Debbie. I got it. Yeah, I got it." I'd like to share an observation from my own life. I have been with the Lord for a lot of years, and I've learned a lot of lessons, many the very hard way. When compassion is fleeting because of an onslaught of all those situations I named, who is in control? That's what you have to ask. God? Yes. People. See this? That's why this is so important. Heart to God, hand to man and women. We have God living within us. Jesus knew we could not live God's way on our own. He knew that. He knew that from the garden. He probably knew it before the garden. That's why the cross of Christ, when the sin problem was dealt with, and those of us have received the cleansing of our sins as we move to make Jesus the Lord of our lives, now have. See, we forget this part. I preached it to you for 10 years when I was here. We forget the part where the Holy Spirit is now living in us. Amen. I want you to remember what that means. The Holy Spirit that spread over the earth and caused the waters and land to separate. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and everything in between is in us. Are you supposed to forgive someone that you feel you should not be forgiven? Oh, I could give you a list. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But God in me could. We're supposed to show kindness to someone who's acting like a stubborn mule? Yep. You can't, but God can. Ask God to help you see past your feelings about the person and the situation. And then do and say what he wants you to do. A few years ago, many years after I was here, I was going to a meeting. Woo-hoo! And it was a meeting about a food pantry. What a good thing to have a meeting about. Good stuff, right? No. There was great disharmony in this organization, and I had listened to it over the months. And you're right, made me not want to go to that meeting. There was one couple who were very vocal about their disapproval of the way things were running. Well, on this particular day, we got word that they were coming to resign. But they wanted to give everyone a good and last piece of their mind. What a good time to read Facebook on the phone. Instead, for some reason, I felt compelled to listen with God ears. The man spoke, and then he got up and he left. Well, the woman had a lot more to say. And as I was listening, not on my phone, I asked God for divine help. I said, this is a food pantry. These are church people from the area who gather once a week to feed the needy. This has got to stop. And in that moment of asking God to help me, I felt her pain. I didn't agree with her stance, but some miraculous way God showed me her heart. I began to weep because I just knew how she was feeling. And then the Lord gave me words that I never thought would come out of my mouth. Words like, you have been really hurt here, haven't you? You have tried and worked very hard for this group, and you don't feel like it's been appreciated. All these words are coming out of my mouth, and I'm going, okay, God, this is you. I cried, she cried. Now, she left the meeting, and I would love to tell you that everything turned around, but as far as I know, it didn't. I didn't go to that meeting much more after that, but all of us just kind of, the rest of us just kind of sat there for a moment, kind of stunned, like, what the heck just happened? Well, she left, and we looked at each other. I don't know if anything good came for her. But I believe she felt heard. That's what I believe. I believe she felt heard. I would have dismissed her, but God's empathy and then compassion was given to me for her. Debbie was not in charge. God was. Life flowing in the Spirit. God over me. Spirit over self-centeredness. Flowing in the ways of the Spirit to do His will and not mine. Back to Chicago, when the gentleman who kissed my hand walked away and I was left staring at my hand, a war broke out inside of me. Part of it was disgust. I now had a very germy, messy hand. But the other part was knowing that it was a very sacred moment. I got to be Christ to someone who may not have deserved it, who acted in a way outside of my comfort zone, who was not a person I was comfortable with, nor did I even understand him. Yet this man taught me so much. He was created in the image of God. And so was I. I didn't have a lot of money back then. But what I had, in that moment I shared. I doubt he even remembers it. But I will never forget my messy, greasy, germy hand kissed by a brother to remind me always to be open to being the compassion of Christ. The truth is, in any time, in any place, that's what we got to be. We need to be open to the leading of the Spirit this week, asking for moments to show compassion or to stand up for righteousness. God will hear you, I promise. Be ready to share with us. Come back in the weeks to come and share with this body of Christ what God did. How were you God with skin on? How did you do this? Compassion is a marvelous gift and a painful one. It makes one sensitive to the needs of others. I have like this overly gifted amount of empathy and compassion God gave me. And when I was in my 20s, I begged God to take it away. I couldn't handle hurting so badly. And he very clearly spoke to my heart and he said, I will never take that away from you. I gifted you with that for a reason and a purpose to do my will. And I said, thanks, God. Sensitivity to others makes us vulnerable. We're going to feel those hurts. It's not something for sissies. So fill up with the Holy Spirit before you do it. Who would want to sign on the dotted line to be the one who is sent by God to be a shepherd of the sheep who are needy, silly, rebellious, and ever present? The one who will do that is the one who knows without a shadow of doubt that they must. Mother Teresa was aware of the power that kindness and compassion can have. She said, spread love everywhere you go. Don't you love that? First, oh, you're going to all love this one. First, in your own house. Okay, you know what? I've been married for 12 years, and I wasn't married for 20. I love Ron. Yet. He is almost as bullheaded as I am. Oh, clap back there. Spread love everywhere you go. First of all, in your own house, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Ha, put that in you. But here's the one I love. Be the living expression of God's kindness. What a word we've forgotten. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. Now, I think there isn't one person in here that can't do that. I understand people are grumpy. I don't have to be. And if you've tried to be nice and the grumpiness still goes, maybe you need to say, it would appear you must be having a bad day. I'll be praying for you. It'll either make her bad or they'll go, oh, and let them get mad. You're about to walk out the door, you know, whatever. I just make that such an effort in these days, and I have for a while, just to be kind. Even when I don't feel like it, I just try to be kind. Smile. Oh my gosh, greet people and say hi, even if they're just walking by. Hi there. I'm old now, so I get away with it, you know, because old people do things like that. Young people look at us and going, what are you doing? Hi there. How are you? And they just keep walking, you know, with their faces and their phones. That's okay. Be the living expression of God's kindness, kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. In coming to know Christ and being given his amazing love, compassion, and transforming power in my life, I have had a deep desire to be a part of him in the way of sharing of his great love to others. His love is everything to me. In Emmaus, we have, as a part of the closing, the leader comes and looks in the eye of the person who's attending and says, Christ is counting on you. And we, people who participate, say, and I am counting on Christ. Think about that. Christ is counting on you. I am counting on Christ. Then we leave that place, taking the fullness of the 3 days that we've experienced to live the life for Christ. You see, Christ's hands are now joined with our hands. We're those. That's us. I think it's a crazy plan. Send your son, die on a cross, give us salvation, fill us with the Spirit, and now you take over and you do it. Have you not known your people since creation? But see, we're redeemed now. We're filled with the Spirit now. It's different now. We're not Adam and Eve. We're not King David. We're not King Solomon. We're not even Good Ruth. We are redeemed. And I know we would all agree that we really think Christ is coming soon. But we need to get more in the kingdom, folks. And we're not going to do it by fighting with each other. We're not going to do it by being ugly to each other. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to fall down and fail, because you are. I have. That's why there's this thing, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And God, help me to do it better. So I don't know who you are and what you're doing here today, but I just want to ask you the question. Do you need a fill-up of the Holy Spirit? As you think back over the week, how did you do in showing God's kindness in your face and your eyes and your smile and in your warm greeting? Maybe there's some people you need to go say I'm sorry to. And they could be living in your own house. I have to do that a lot. So I'm just asking you if you would put your hands like this as we have our closing prayer. Oh, gracious God, we're open. These are your hands. This is your life. Father, forgive us for the times that we mess it up and we're just tired or we're mad or we're hurt and we react accordingly. But I would just ask that you would take myself and my brothers and sisters and you would fill us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit so that this week, we can show Jesus. And if there's one who's really hurting and needs a little more time, send him our way, Lord. And help us to make time just to listen and offer to pray, to tell them about you and that there's someone who loves them to life and back. We're here, Lord. Heart to God, hand to man, that's us. Take us, fill us, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.